And I said, here it is. Okay, God, you told me through her, so I know this is the right thing. And so I walked in, and the very first day I walked in, I got to admit, some of those guys looked kind of rough. can I tell them about you? And Kevin had a mohawk. I mean, a big old mohawk. And I went walking in, and Kevin looked at me like, who are you? And so we got talking, and you know what? He wasn't the only one. It took a while because right to start with, they thought that the sheriff sent me in to find out things about them to using them in court. And they were told that whatever y'all tell me does not get told. The sheriff does not make me. I cannot go to court. You cannot. Everything's confidential. So that's cool. Well, I found out that not only was it cool being a B5, but these guys became like family too. Amazing. And there's one particular standout that honestly, it just blew me away and became one of my greatest friends from that journey. And now, not only has he been sober for 18 months, he now is becoming, he's getting trained. I didn't tell y'all about the training that he's getting ready to do to be a peer specialist and other things. But also, if you look up on PCDC website or their Facebook page, he even got used, they used him to show how all this works, and they used him. So although he got arrested the first time, the second time he actually played like he was getting arrested, and they took him through all the stuff, and they told him what everybody, all the parts, and then at the end he talks about God, how God did something special for him. Kevin Cook is one of the dearest guys I know, and he's awesome, absolutely awesome. And if you know anybody's having and we're going to try it again, once we can get it started back out here, when we get this kind of program started over in the fellowship hall, wait for the COVID to get down a little bit. He's going to be one of our highlights once we get it going. So Kevin, come on up here, brother. Kevin Cook, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for Kevin Cook. I'd hug you, but look, just do that. Go ahead, Kevin. Oh, hold, where's the microphone at? Here. Let's see. One on the piano. Okay. There you are, Kevin. That's hot.
Kevin, I'm a recovering alcoholic addict. So I started, you know, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church in Farmville. It's actually in Fountain. I was born and raised in Farmville. I'm 31 years old. But so coming up, I dibbled and dabbled in drugs, and I didn't really pay attention in church. And, you know, I just went because I had to go. My parents wanted me to go. And when I was about 16, I worked for a preacher with a ceramic tile. And he preached to me every day at lunch. And I'll never forget the 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, he drilled in my head. And it never stuck. I mean, I memorized it, but I never understood it until about a year ago. But it says, I declare unto you the gospel by which you are saved. You believe Jesus died on the cross for your sins, buried and rose on the third day. Ephesians 1 says you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Nobody can take it away from you but me. Turn my back, which I have done my whole life. I go into church and I do good for a little while, then I take my wheel back. I go do what Kevin wanted to do, which is never, it seemed fun at the time, but years later it never wound up good. So I wound up in a detention center. I know, not me. But I was in the detention center last year, April 26th, I got arrested. And today, I thank God that it did. I got to meet Swamp Rat, Pastor David Lynn. So it's a program that, you know, people come in and they talk to you. You know, preachers like David Linton, and he worked a 12-step program with us. And peer support specialists, people that's been where we had been, give us, you know, to tell us that there's a chance to get out and do the right thing, that, you know, through God's grace and mercy, I got another chance. He hasn't, you know, turned his back on me, and thou shalt and thou shalt not scared me when I was a kid growing up. But, you know, through his grace and mercy, I still had a chance to turn my life around and to make a difference and use my story today as a testimony to change people's lives. When I was 25, I was drinking heavy, and me and my mom had some words, and she couldn't get me to come to the door. I purposely didn't go to the door. Well, I wound up passing out. She called the sheriff to come check on me. They crawled in my window. They kicked my bedroom door in. I jumped out of bed like, what are you doing in my house? And shot me twice. I can't feel or use my left hand. Been like that since 2014. So I hated police officers. I think it was 3 nights ago, I went to a Real Men Talk meeting. And here I am getting Pitt County Sheriff's phone numbers, Greenville Cop's phone numbers. Just trying to bridge the gap between people like I used to be and the police now to stop all the camaraderie. So, you know, I had to look at my part in the situation, and that helped me a lot to see that, you know, had I not been drinking and arguing with my mom, and I'd have got up and went to the door, the sheriff never would have been at my house. I couldn't have got shot. So, you know, it was a snowball that I created at the top of the mountain and pushed, turned into an avalanche. But at the end of the day, I started the whole scenario. So, you know, that change was a big turning point in my life. And when I was in the program doing the steps with Pastor David Linton, on making amends, I lost my dad to throat cancer in 2017. So there's a lot of things that he never got to see me well, like I, you know, am today. I was in active addiction, and one of the last promises I promised him that I was going to get clean. And so, you know, it's hard to make amends to that person. Well, working with Pastor David Linton, I wrote a letter to my dad apologizing for all the things that I had done to him, you know, stealing things to go sell to get drugs or manipulating him to give me some money so I could go. So I wrote this letter apologizing for everything, and I thought that was important. Pastor Dave Linton came in next week, and he said, now I want you to flip that letter over. He said, I want you to write what you think your dad would say back to you. And that helped me a lot. And when I got out within the first couple of weeks, I went to my dad's grave, and I read that letter, flipped it over and read what I thought he said, and I burned it. And that was one of the most freeing things, you know, to get through letting him know that I am becoming a better person. And Mr. Benny coming in and telling us about all his fishing trips and how he got his boat and how much trouble he went through getting it out. He told us to watch out what we prayed for. But you know, it's just once I was willing to try and listen to the people that come in and talk to us, and turn my life over to Jesus Christ, my life started changing. Here I am, this week makes a year since I was released from the Pitt County Detention Center. You know, I didn't have nowhere to go. I had a mohawk, I had a big beard. I got a job like 3 days after I got out. I'm still employed at Third Street Facility Services. They're about helping people in recovery. You know, I've stayed in a couple different Oxford houses and a recovery house that Third Street started for a while. I moved out in an apartment now, and I do as much as I can to help people who is where I was a year ago that don't know. You know, if I come out and I'd never gotten to the Oxford house, I'd have went right back to the same old life, doing drugs and drinking and using people, and never would have turned my life over to God. And he showed me a better way to live. But today I go, you know, every Sunday. I usually go to Open Door. I've been here a couple times in the last year, a little hike from Greenville. But but I'd like to come more. And like I give a lot of credit to Pastor David Linton and Mr. Benny coming in and talking to us, just having somebody who hasn't been where we were, but who still understands God's grace and mercy and that we can become better people. There's a lot of people, you know, they look at us like, oh, he used to steal and lie and cheat, manipulate. And, you know, that's put me in the class of what I've always been. But I'm becoming such much a better person today.
Amen.
Trying to help as many people.
Yes.
To come turn their life over to Jesus as well. That's my story. Thank you.
Awesome, brother. Awesome.
Awesome young man. God's got his hand on him, and God's going to use him in a very, very powerful, powerful way. And he's already used him. It's not a matter of going to use him. He's already using him. Kevin, you're awesome. I tell him all the time, he's the poster child, you know, for B5 and for recovery and what God can do with you and for you. And I can be in B5 and inevitably I'll either be asked, who is Kevin Cook? Or I'll be saying right here, do you know how I can get up with Kevin? So Kevin is the guy, or I hear him say, I've already talked to Kevin. When you get out, I've already talked to Kevin. And so Kevin is more than just, you know, he's the point man. These guys look to him and it's amazing. Kevin, you're just an amazing man. And I hate the part about what you went through and I hate the part about your hand. But at the same time, one thing I learned a long time ago, and y'all remember this, God never wastes pain. He never wastes it. And so because of that, whatever you go through, God's going to take it and use it for his good. Ask Joseph. Okay. Ask Kevin. Ask your own self. How many times has God taken what you thought was bad and turned around and made something good? Bethany, bless her heart, all the stuff she went through, you know, and then she gave me that challenge. I mean, literally, one of the last things she said before she couldn't talk anymore, she gave me that challenge. And that challenge, every time I go into B5, I hear Bethany telling me, don't let me down, Dad. You go help as many people as you can. And so, again, you know, we've got something here in this community. You know one thing we got in this community? We got plenty of people need help. So if you want to go fishing, and if you want to go fishing in a pond, if you go fishing in a pond and don't have any fish, then you're just out there doing exercise. If you got a bunch of fish, if you got the right kind of bait, you can catch all the kind of fish you want. So we got a lot out here. We just got to get the bait right. All right? Okay. So now, does anybody need special prayer? I mean, you want to be anointed. Anybody want to be anointed today? If you don't, that's okay. But if you do, let me know. If you don't, that's okay. The deacons are going to come up. And if you don't, we're going to pray for the service this morning. They're going to help me pray for the service this morning. Okay? And they can anoint me. I want y'all to anoint me with a hand sanitizer. Okay, you need to stand up for your sister. All right, what's her name? Cindy. Okay, we're going to pray for Cindy, and then they're going to anoint me for the service this morning. Okay? Yeah, take it, pass it, and get through with it. You want to be a booger bear this morning. Okay, everybody, as much as possible, let's get out of here and get some room between y'all. Remember, we still got the COVID this thing. Yeah, there you go. We got it beat, that's right. But we want to follow directions, okay? Okay, so everybody just point your way towards Benny. And your sister's name again is Cindy. Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for touching Cindy. We thank you for bringing healing to her body. In the name of Jesus, touch her and anoint her, and I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, anybody else, Lord, has a need in their body, you can touch them, you can anoint, and you can make a difference. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And fellas, y'all just put your hand over toward me, and let's pray. Go ahead, Steve, you lead them. Amen. Thank you, fellas. I'd hug your neck, but isn't God good? All the time. Now, I heard this story yesterday. I've heard it before, but I forgot it, and so it was really pretty cool. And it is, after leaving the racetrack, Joe bumped into his old friend John on the bus. Say, John, how's it going? Going. You want to hear the most amazing thing that's ever happened? Tell me, what's today? What's today's date? The guy said July 7th. He said, right, the seventh day of the seventh month. I go to the track at 7:07. My son is 7 years old today, and I live at number 7, 7th Avenue. Let me guess, John interrupted, you put everything you had on the seventh horse in the seventh race. Right. And he won. He said, no, he came in seventh. Woo! Yeah, that's the same reaction I had when I read it. Because I was thinking, get your Bibles out now. Stand back up. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Everybody got your Bible? Say amen. Everybody, if you don't, say on me. If you look in front of you, there should be a Bible right in front of you on the pew, hopefully. All right, ready? Here we go. Matthew 6, 9. Y'all say this with me. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And God, get a little hand clap of praise and thank him. Put your hands this way. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you that it's powerful, that it never comes back to you void. And I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, let it sink in the name of Jesus, we pray. And give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you're sitting down. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to do a few slides from last week so you know where we're at. Amen. And then whatever happens, we're going to let God have whatever he wants to do. Amen. All right. The model prayer. Lord, teach us how to call to you. Teach us how to call to you, okay? So here's just a couple of slides from last week. I just want you to kind of go through this with me. How many's heard in the last few days, in the last few weeks, in the last few months, pray for our world, pray for our nation, pray for our president, pray for our elections, pray for our communities, pray for our families. When CNN and other people start saying pray, okay, then you know something's up, okay? There's been a whole lot of let's get praying for our families. And have you ever wondered how to pray, what to say, how to say it, and what about if you say something and it just seems powerless? You know, James 4 and 3 says, you ask and do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Okay? So that you can spend on your own pleasures. Now, let's just take that a little deeper. It's not just spend on your own pleasures. Watch this. Have you ever prayed for God to work it out the way you wanted it? Okay? God, have your will and let your will line up with mine. Y'all got quiet. I've done that. Lord, have your will, let it line up with mine. Oh, we don't say it that way. We're too smart for that. You know, we think we can get it over on God. We're gonna lure him in. Okay, God, we need you to have your will, but here's what we want. Okay, that's what James is saying. You just can't tell God to do it your way. You got to, if you're asking God to have it his way, then you got to have it your way. Remember, God's not Burger King. Okay, you don't always get it your way. Kevin talking about getting shot. If he'd have had his way, he would not have been shot. Amen. And that hand, can't use that hand. You know, but I'm going to tell you something that's amazing. He led in a lot of leading to those guys in B5. And one thing he had them doing was exercising. And they got in that little yard place and exercise, and that man could do some push-ups. I mean, I'm talking about, I thought, how in the world is he doing push-ups with that hand like that? But he was just like Rocky. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so when there's a will, there's a way, amen? So here we go, let's get going. So here we are. The disciples, there was some powerful work. They saw this powerful work through Jesus Christ, but they didn't ask him how to do those things. He knew there was something much deeper to this. And so they asked him, how do you pray? Because they knew, watch this, they knew the deeper question, how do you pray? Because they prayed all their life. They were raised praying. But nothing was happening. And so they said, what is it about you that's different than us? And the difference was they were praying through religion and through some kind of ceremony, and Jesus was praying through a relationship with the Father. And if you do that, it's going to make a big difference in your life. So you got to know how to pray. All right. And of course, here it is. We call it the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer. But it says, after this manner, I want you to pray. So this is the last slide from last week. Get ready. This is the first part we did last week. The relationship to our Father, you pray, our Father who art in heaven. You're not praying to Mary or to an angel, but you're praying to God. But you're not just praying to God, you're praying to your Father. You know, it's amazing how if I go to the store with somebody and I see something I want or something I need, you know, if I'm with somebody I do not know or somebody I don't have a relationship with, I'm not going to tell him what I need. What do you need? Oh, I'm fine. Do you need something? Sure. And you just get something. If my dad takes me in there and says, okay, son, what do you need? It makes a difference. Amen. And so again, there's the relationship to God. He's our Father. There's reverence for God. Hallowed be thy name. There's the rule of God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the first part of this prayer places God in a proper position as our Heavenly Father, full of glory and power and honor. Now, y'all ready for the second part? Because the second part is not going to be popcorn. Okay, ready? Here we go. All right, get ready. Y'all go ahead, look at somebody and say, get your pencils out and your steel toes on. Ready? The resources of God. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Think about this now. This is a petition for our earthly needs. You know, yes, you got to get out and work, and yes, you got to do things, but you know what? I've seen people that were very talented, that had a lot of ability, but seemed to get nowhere. And I've seen other people that didn't have any talent, any ability, and they got everywhere. The difference was God's anointing on their life. How many wouldn't have God's anointing on your life? Abraham Lincoln said he would rather spend, if he knew he was going to have to cut down a tree, he had 5 hours to cut, or 6 hours to cut down a tree, he would spend five of it sharpening the axe. Why do I want to try to do everything on my own? Why do I not let God in on it? Amen? And ask God to help me. Because if I don't, you'll be a tingling brass, or a tingling cymbal, and a sounding brass. And so here we go. Watch this. I love this. Give us this day. Y'all say this with me. Give us this day our daily bread. Three things. Number one, you're asking for divine favor. I tell guys in B5. I tell guys when I'm counseling with them. I tell people when I'm praying for them at the hospital. I tell them all over the place. I tell them, you got to remember to ask God for divine favor. Favor. Grace is favor. Grace is undeserved merit. Grace is getting something that you did not deserve, but it's given to you anyway. Favor. Give. The emphasis is on mercy, not merit. God, if you judge me today for everything I did yesterday, I'll just go on home and climb in a hole. Maybe I didn't have any bad actions, but I might have had a bad attitude. Anybody here ever had a bad attitude? Oh, yeah. Yeah, y'all can raise your hands. I raised my hands twice. I put my feet up there, too, but I'd fall. Bad attitude, bad actions. What the thing about a bad attitude is, if you don't get your attitude under control, you may not show it to start with. But if you don't get your attitude under control, pretty soon it's going to come out in actions. And when it comes out in actions, then everybody's going to know you got a bad attitude. Okay? So first, you got to ask for a favor. God, we need you to give us this day our daily bread. I have to remind myself of that all the time. Here's what I say. God, you're my source. You're my strength. You're my salvation. That's what David said. You're my source. You're my strength. You're my salvation. Whenever I get a tendency, I think about what's going on in the world today and think about things that are happening because of the COVID shutdowns. I tell people all the time, you need to change your direction. You need to change your focus. God, you're my source. You're my strength. You're my salvation. You're going to take care of me no matter what happens because I am your child. Okay? So number one, here it is, favor. Number two, faith. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day. When the children of God were out in the wilderness and they were collecting manna, how did they do it? One day at a time. If they collected more than they were supposed to, they collected 2 days worth, guess what happened? It rotted. Except for the Sabbath. They could get 2 days worth the day before the Sabbath, so they didn't have to go out and collect it. I'm not saying don't save. I'm not saying don't prepare for retirement. What I'm trying to say is don't get so busy in tomorrow that you lose today. Don't get so busy trying to build tomorrow that you let today fall through your fingers. Don't get so busy trying to take care of tomorrow that you see opportunity in front of you where you can help somebody, but you don't help them because you're so busy focused on tomorrow that you lose today. Give us this day our daily bread. And finally, the third thing is favor. Y'all say favor. Favor. Say faith. Now, food, bread. We're to pray for material needs. I've heard people tell me, don't be praying for material needs. That's unspiritual. Really? Have you read the Lord's Prayer? He said, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. So we pray for spiritual needs, and we also pray for our spiritual needs. Here we go. Here's the part. Go ahead and get ready. Some might not need steel toes. Some might need a crash helmet. Ready? Y'all ready? Wait a minute. What is that? What does that look like to y'all? This is not a Freud thing, and y'all got to tell me the ink spots. What is that, though? Is that two people fighting? Huh? Worry's a good one. Worry's a good one. What else? I see the worry. Also, I see frustration beating my head against the wall again with that crazy woman. I'm beating my head against the wall. She's going, I want to choke him so bad. That's what I saw. It's two people that are at odds with each other, and they can't seem to get on the same page. Do you have anybody in your life you can't get on the same page with? Somebody that you live with? Somebody that you're married to? Somebody that's a child? Somebody that you really need to be in contact with? It's not just somebody that you rode by and saw and waved at them and they rode by and don't know who they are. Somebody you really need with a deep relationship. You need to get on the same page, but you can't find a way to get on the same page. Every time you try to get it together, you're beating your head against the wall. I'm going to choke him. All right. I hope everybody can read. I'll let that one sink in before I say anything. Repentance. We're so busy trying to get the other person. Oh, come on now. Y'all got real quiet on me now. We're so busy trying to fix somebody else that we forget that we need to be fixed too. In that picture, there's two broken people. Not one broken person, two broken people. Always remember this, in any situation, I can't change you. The only person I can change is me. I'm the only one I can do. I can try to change you, but it's not going to work. I can change me. And so because I can change me, let's go ahead and start with the basics. Matter of fact, starting in next week, we're going to be talking about Revelation. And we're going to do a Revelation. And then I think on Communion Sundays, I'm going to start going getting back to basics. And we're going to talk about from the very beginning what you got to do to be strong in God. Very simple, basic stuff. Every first Sunday, no, it's going to be back to basics. I'm not sure what we're going to call it. Back to basics. We're going to call it Christianity 101. But starting next communion, we're going to start having some back to basics. And I hope it isn't boring because I don't want it to be boring. I want it to be powerful. But it's going to be something that you say, wait a minute, I've already gone over this. I've lived this for 30 years. Well, maybe you have forgot some things. Okay? All right. So, repentance. Repentance to God. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Luke says, forgive us our sins instead of debts. Why did he say debts instead of sin? Sin means to miss the mark. And that's really so. When you're fighting, a lot of times we miss the mark. I'm glad they missed the mark because she would have choked him. But he said debt. What does debt got to do with it? Debt means to owe somebody something. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who forgive our debtors. God knows there's a cycle in all of our lives. There's a cycle, and here's the cycle. Believe it or not, you may think you're debt-free, but when it comes to God, you're not. Every last one of us owe God something. We owe Him our life. We owe him our ministry. We owe him our work. We owe him everything, because without him, we would not live, breathe, or exist. But let's go a little bit further. Every time I let my attitude get in the way, now I've gone beyond missing the mark, so now I owe him something. But now I don't owe him something. I may owe the person that I'm mad at something too. Because it's a debt. I'm taking something that's not there. I'm taking something I shouldn't be taking. I'm taking a debt. And so I need to pray to God first before I do anything else, before I try to fix anybody. I need to say, God, fix me. God, I know I had a rough week. And I know that I did not sound the best. I didn't sound like a Christian yesterday when I gave that person a piece of my mind. Matter of fact, now I'm really in debt because I lost what little bit of mind I had. So, first thing we do is we fix ourselves. Let God fix us. Then secondly, I don't even want you to raise your hands. How many in here have people that you really, really know they missed the mark with you? Don't raise your hands, please. Missed the mark with. They. But let me just take it a little deeper. Matthew calls it debtors. Because they took something from you you could not afford to give. I'm not saying a thief. What I'm saying is when you see them, you remember they owe me something because this is not settled. And until this is settled, you owe me. And because of that, we have lost a lot of relationships because somebody owed them something. So God says, let me put it back in order again. I need you to first ask me. Okay, so let's take it a little further here. We're getting ready to get in. Y'all like this? Isn't this cool stuff? Y'all look like you're standing in line for a root canal. Come on. All right, get ready. There's the work of forgiveness. Okay? The work of forgiveness is an important work for a person. And it is work because it takes work to forgive somebody that you really don't want to forgive. There's been times when God said, forgive that person. I said, God, I really don't want to. I really enjoy being mad at them right now because they owe me. Oh, I know. I'm the only one in here like that. I really, really don't want to forgive them, Lord, because they really hurt me. And until I see them suffer, really? So, it's work. So you got to work at it. And not only does it work, it's a duty. You got to forgive. Watch this. It's a divine commandment. It's not optional. God didn't say, well, when you feel like it, forgive them. No, he said, first you come to me and ask me to forgive you for what you owe me. Because you don't do it always right. You don't get it always right. You don't always dot every I and cross every T. You're not spiritual Superman that walks around and says everything right and does everything right. You owe me. So you remember that when somebody's got something against you. Because when it's against you, it's the little Y. But when it's against me, it's the big M. Me, him. So again. Duty of forgiveness. And then defining forgiveness. Watch this. Forgive means to send away, to let go. Wow. Think about this. Forgiveness is not probation. It's complete dismissal of all charges. Wow. That's powerful. Well, God, I'll forgive them if. I'll forgive them. Huh? No. There's a difference in forgiveness and reconciliation. So we can talk about that later. But forgiveness is not an option. You have to forgive those that owe you. It's not easy. Sometimes it's very hurtful to forgive somebody. There's people that I literally, over the years, when I walk past them, when I first see them, when they first come up to me, when I see them got that smart look on their face, that growl. When I first see them, I always got to say, God, I forgave them. Now help me hold to it. Because God, actually, if I had a board right now, they might be missing some teeth. I know, you're saying, you? Yeah, me. Because I'm human too. So So when I see them, I go, God, I forgave them through your power. Now you're going to have to help me hold on to that forgiveness through your power. Okay? So, isn't this cool stuff? This will make you grow. Okay? And then the doing of forgiveness. Forgive men their trespasses. All the guys that's messed up against you. I guarantee you, I try not to keep a list. What I've tried to do is I kind of try to keep my list short. The reason I try to keep my list short so I don't have to go back and have to remember all the things I need to be asking God to forgive me for. So I go in and ask him right then, forgive me, try to keep the list short. And when somebody does me wrong, I keep that list short. I say, I forgive them, God. Help me to forgive them. Help me work forgiveness and help me keep forgiveness in my heart. So, now get ready. Get ready. Here now to righteousness. Here comes another one. You're saying, just about time I thought I could pull my feet in here. Not yet. Righteousness from God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from Ethel. Oh, not Ethel, it's evil. I had Aunt Ethel one time, was the meanest woman I ever knew. I'm playing, y'all are just cutting up. Deliver us from evil. First, there's a desire. That desire is lead us not into temptation. You know God's not going to lead you into temptation. The Bible says in James, he'll test you, but he'll test you to check your faith, but he'll never tempt you to sin. There's a difference. He will test you to build your strength. He will test you to get you to the next level. He will test you to show you what you're made out of. But he's not going to tempt you to sin. Okay. So what is this actually saying? This is saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Meaning, my desire has to be to please you. Am I pleasing to you, God? I know you're not going to lead me into evil, but Lord, I need you to help me because even though you might not lead me into it, Satan will. Not only will Satan, my well-meaning friends may do so likewise. How many has gotten in trouble because somebody said, well, come on. One time. Just one time. One time's all right. Really? So, first desire. Secondly, deliverance. Deliver us from evil. I'm not seeking exemption from the trial. I just want to escape before transgression happens. And then here we go. I'm getting ready to close. I promise. Now we're going to get ready to take a little, we're going to take her down a little bit. Respect for God. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. B5, and on Tuesday nights, we close with the Lord's Prayer. Tuesday nights here, we're going to close with it today again here. It's always funny because we'll say, here's how we do it. On Tuesday night, somebody leads us in the Lord's Prayer, and somebody takes us out through prayer. That's what we're going to do today. If you're not sure how to pray about any kind of situation, any kind, just say the Lord's Prayer. Because we've already seen it covers everything. Everything. Watch this. Get ready again. We're going to break it down. Piece by piece. It acknowledges the sovereignty of God. Thine is the kingdom. It acknowledges the power of God. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the magnificence of God, the glory, the eternity of God forever. So let's just break this down one more time, and then we're going to pray. Broke up into three different categories. The first one is, I pray to the Father about his name. Hallowed be thy name. I pray to the Father about his kingdom. Your kingdom come. I pray to the Father about his will. Your will be done. Now I've gotten from the Father. Now I'm talking about myself. Ready? I pray for provision. Give us today our daily bread. I pray for pardon. Forgive our debts. I pray for protection. lead us not into temptation. These last three things, of course, is going to be to take care of all the needs of our life. Provision takes care of your present. Pardon takes care of your past. Protection takes care of your future. God's got this. Anytime you can say the Lord's Prayer, according to the Jewish writings, the disciples said it three times a day. Wow. Three times a day. That's awesome. Some people only say it when somebody asks them to. And that's good. I'm glad you at least will say it, but you need to learn to say it. I say it every morning with my wife. Every morning. I say it every time I go to B5. I say it every Tuesday night here. And I'll be riding down the road and I'll just start saying the Lord's Prayer. Because sometimes you really don't know what to pray for. But this prayer has it all. I don't know if you notice it or not, but our world really needs prayer right now. I listen to the news just long enough to get mad. It takes about 2 minutes. It gets so aggravating what's going on and all the different viewpoints. God's got this. BJ, come play something. Before we do the dismissal prayer with the Lord's Prayer, I want everybody to stand. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. No looking around. You may be here today, and you brought a heavy burden with you, a heavy burden. And the problem is you bring it every Sunday, but you never leave it here. You carry it back with you. That burden could be your relationship with God. That burden could be your relationship with your brothers and sisters. That burden could be the relationship in your family or your job, but it's a burden. You've brought it every Sunday. And you take it back. And all week you struggle. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to unload that burden. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're having that burden with your relationship with God, whether it be you need salvation or whether it be you just need serenity with God, with nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Maybe you're here today and that burden that you brought with you is between you and a loved one, or you and a friend, or you and a brother, you and your kids. But that's a burden that you've been carrying around for a long time and it's dragging you down and it's a weight around your neck. And you can't even look up because it's pulling you down. That's not God's plan for you. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, shows us that. If I'm talking to you right now, you have a burden with a family member, with a friend, with a brother, with a child, with a co-worker, and you're needing God to help you with that. But nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? I'm needing that, Lord. I'm needing it bad. I'm needing it. Maybe today your burden is just a personal burden. You got something on your mind that you can't get rid of. You can't seem to shed it. Again, it's that weight around your neck. You try to look up, but you cannot look up because all this keeps you looking down. And at times you even doubt your relationship with God and doubt that God even sees you. That's not His plan. His plan is for you to have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. You can't even figure out why you got this peace. Because you can't even understand it. You just know you got it. If you got that personal burden today and you're needing God just to give you that peace that passes all understanding, when nobody's looking around, every eye closed, would you put that hand up? I need that peace that passes all understanding. I need that personal peace for that personal burden. We're all going to pray together. Y'all repeat after me. We're going to all, and it's okay if you do it every Sunday. We're going to pray a prayer of rededication to God, and it's okay to do it every Sunday because I do it every day. If God tells me to forgive somebody 7 times 70, 490 times a day, then it's okay to rededicate my life to Him daily. Matter of fact, the Lord's Prayer, I do that in the Lord's Prayer. You rededicate your life every time you pray that Lord's Prayer. If you read it like it's written. Ready? Say after me. Ready? Say it together. Lord, I need You to come into my heart and in my life. Take this burden that I'm carrying that is putting strain on me and take it. I thank You for all You've done for me. Today is a day of victory. I will not carry that burden anymore. I will not walk in defeat anymore. I will not allow this burden to keep my head down. But instead, I rededicate my life to You, O God. And I'm making a stand right here, right now. This burden is being cast to Your feet, Jesus. I will not carry it again. And I thank You for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead and worship. Go ahead and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. Come on and praise Him. I want to hear some praise in here. Some crazy praise. Come on. Crazy praise. Thank You, God. Glory. Yes. Crazy praise. That's right. God's got this. God's got this. Come on, God's got this. Glory. Let's sing that. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. How great Thou art. Come on, do it again. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. Come on! Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on! How great Thou art. Oh yes, is He great? Come on!
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art! How great Thou art!
Right, here's how we're going to close service. I'm going to ask one of us to take us into the Lord's Prayer, and I want somebody else to take us out, not meaning to literally take you out, but they're going to say a prayer of dismissal after we say the Lord's Prayer. Okay? So here's how we're going to do it. All right, ready? Benny's going to take us in, and Dudley's going to take us out. Y'all ready? Go for it, bro. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.